troue bydra. Mag die Here julle seën, ryklik seën uit julle sokkies uit. Amen. Well, I'm grateful this morning. This is a new day, another opportunity to share God's word with you. Thank you very much for coming. To the folks next door, hello. I hope you're waving at me, checking you out. Grateful, bless you for cooperating in making use of that side. But as of next week, we'll all be able to get together here again. Hallelujah. I'm very, very grateful for that. It's my privilege this morning to speak to you about a topic that can really, really change our lives. And literally within a few moments can change your whole outlook on life. And I've just called this message, Be Thankful. So short and sweet, get to the point, and then we get on with it. Passage of scripture that I'd like to look at is from Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to 19. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to 19. So there's this story, you might have heard it before, but I'm going to tell it to you again, of this Jewish guy. He's trusting God to win the lotto. And he goes and he prays, he says, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, please let me win the lotto. And the lotto comes and goes, and he doesn't win the lotto. Says, no, he's got to do some religious sacrifices. So he tears his clothes like they often did, and he prays, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, please let me win the lotto. And the lotto comes and goes, and Jaime doesn't win the lotto. And he decides, no, there's more that he can do. So he rolls himself in sackcloth and ashes and puts dust on his head like they do to show remorse and repentance. And he prays, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, please let me win the lotto. And guess what? He doesn't win the lotto. And he decides, okay, no, now it's time to get serious. Nou gaan ek apart van my skape slag. And he slaughters a few sheep. And he prays, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, please let me win the lotto. And the lotto comes and goes, and he doesn't win the lotto. And eventually there's a voice from heaven as God and says, Jaime, meet me halfway. Buy a lottery ticket. Some people think that happiness can only start after you win the lotto ticket. The happiness depends on the next best thing that's going to happen. And they're not thankful for what they already have in their lives. And this morning we're going to speak about, just briefly, being thankful. So the message is called, Be Thankful. Whether you win the lotto or not, can I get an amen? How many of you would like to win the lotto? A couple. And the rest? Those that don't want to win the lotto, buy us lottery tickets that we can win the lotto. Is that okay? All right. Luke chapter 17, verse 11 to 19. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. And as he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance. How many? It's important. And they cried out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And he looked at them and said, Go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. Notice something amazing happened here. Jesus said, Go show yourselves to the priest. And they weren't healed yet. But as they started leaving, the miracle took place. They had to take those steps of faith. He said, Go and show yourselves to the master, you healed. They didn't move, nothing happened. But as they started leaving, then the miracle happened. So sometimes in life it requires for us to take a step of faith, like No, and then he said, like, buy a lottery ticket. Don't do that. If you place your hope and your faith and trust in that, there's a problem. I wouldn't recommend you do that, but be that as it may. And one of them, how many were there? And how many are speaking about you now? One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, Praise God. And he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. And this man was a Samaritan. And Jesus asked, Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? What a question. Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege of having your word so freely available to us today. Here it is mense wat nou heidiglik in die tronk sit as gevolg van die feit dat hulle in besit gevind was van 'n Bybel. Daar's geliefdes wat treur oor mense wat hulle verloor het, wat doodgemaak is as gevolg van hulle geloof. Daar's mense wat vandag terwyl ons hierso die samesyn van die gelowiges geniet, wat moet wegkruip in geheime plekke om by mekaar te kan kom as gevolg van hulle geloof. Here, ons neem dit nie vanselfsprekend in die voorreg wat ons het om so te kan aanbid. Ja, daar's moeilike situasies in ons land, Here, maar dit gaan nog soveel moeiliker met ander mense in ander plekke. Ons dankie vir die voorreg wat ons het om te kan aanbid. And this morning as we meditate on your word, Spirit of God, would you make it alive in our hearts, Lord? All of us, and me especially, acknowledge our dependency upon you. Here, ek het nie 'n fancy preek om te preek nie. I'm trusting in you, Lord, to make your word come alive in our hearts. To the praise and glory of your name, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. It's amazing to note that 10 were healed and only one comes back to give thanks. So 10% of those guys that were healed, 1/10, came back to give God thanks. Now it is possible and also probable that when it comes to honoring God financially in churches in general today, only 10% are contributing and the rest of the 90% are enjoying the benefits of the 10% contribution. It's possible and also probable. It's also possible that only 10% of the people are volunteering their time by doing acts of Christian service in their local communities and in their local church, while the rest of the 90% are enjoying the benefit of what the 10% are doing. So when the 10% are coming back and giving thanks, and the 10% are sowing and working and volunteering their time and their services and their skills and their talents, what are the other 90% doing? Brumming and complaining. And they saying, when are they going to do something about this? When are they going to change this? When are they going to fix that? Imagine how different church life would be if, for example, we family here this morning. Amen? Can we talk straight with each other as family? Imagine how different church life would be if 50% returned to God what is rightfully His in terms of finances. Imagine how different it would be if 50% of the people got involved in some form of Christian service. Church life would never, ever be the same again. Nou, maar nou nie sleg voel nie, dis nie net Bikers Church nie, it's a worldwide phenomenon. It's a worldwide phenomenon that only 10% are getting involved. Now, I wonder, what was it about this man that made him come back? And the scripture says that he was a Samaritan. It was a Samaritan. It was also a Samaritan in the parable of the guy being beaten up on the side of the road where the different people passed and commented, and only the Samaritan made the time to actually help out. I wonder what percentage of us are living our lives in gratitude to the Lord. Think about that. And a little bit later, we're going to look at one of the ways in which we can show our gratefulness to the Lord and be thankful. We need to ask ourselves that question again. How many of us are actually living lives of gratitude to the Lord? Now, here's something that I find just challenging in the core of this message. Nothing is ever so good that there's no room for improvement. Think about that. So on the one hand, we must be grateful for what we have, isn't it? Hello? Anybody there? But on the other hand, nothing is ever so good that there's no room for improvement. Isn't the whole gospel message about improvement? It's about improving the condition of mankind. The whole gospel message is about improvement. So on the one hand, we must be grateful and thankful for what we have. On the other hand, nothing is ever so good that there's no room for improvement. In fact, if there wasn't a desire for improvement, we wouldn't have the wheel today. Imagine before the wheel was invented, Hoe het hulle gesukkel om dinge gedoen te kry? How did they get around? They probably pushed things and slept things and pulled things that resisted, and there was lots of wrijving and friction and hulle gesukkel. En daai groot man het obviously vir homself gedink, how can I fix me caveman, me fix? And he came up with a plan. And it was probably by accident. They probably saw there was a tremor or something like that, and there was a rock slide, and they saw the rocks like rolling. Hey, and it probably started out as a big round rock, and then they flattened it, and then there were low profiles. And then the Indians came along, and made some mags, man. Got to drop a suspension and make a mags and all, man. Got a mag wheel and all. And they, if they didn't improve the situation, we wouldn't have wheels. If we wouldn't have wheels, we wouldn't have bikes. Oh, God, no, no. Imagine a world without wheels. And I kon net daar gesit en gesê, ach, you know, it's okay, I'm thankful that I've got a sickle, I'm thankful that I... But nothing is ever so good that there's no room for improvement. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the hallmarks of the kingdom of God is balance. So, is it possible to be grateful and thankful for what you have, but still pursue the better? Is it possible? Well, let's take a look at a little bit more scripture to see where we're going with this. So, in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6, it says, yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. Godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. Now, what is contentment? Contentment doesn't mean settling for second, third, fourth, fifth best. Contentment doesn't mean ek aanvaar die goed is maar stikken, so ek is baie dankbaar daarvoor. One guy said to me, you know, he's grateful that he sickles, and he's grateful that he's broke. And I'm like, is it okay? You might see that as a sign of humility, but wouldn't it be nice to be in a place where you have enough for your needs to be met, maar so ook that you've got enough to be able to be a blessing to other people? Hello? Nicolene agrees with me. What about the rest of you? God, why does God want you to be blessed so that you can be a blessing to other people? God is not the God of just enough. El Shaddai is the God of more than enough. Why? Now here's the deal. This is where it gets difficult with us. The scripture says that, you know, if you're faithful and you honor God financially, and this is not about finances, but we're talking about that now, okay? So just forgive me and deal with it. God will bless you and give you double measure, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing will be poured into your lap. So what happens is, in our lives, God blesses us more and more and more and starts overflowing. What do? We just get a bigger container. Ouch. Bigger container. And then God starts blessing us, and it fills up and starts overflowing. And what do? We just get a bigger container. When's it going to get to the point in our lives where it overflows that we can be a blessing to other people? And that's the key. It's a challenging place to be in. God wants us to be at a place where we can be a blessing to other people. So contentment doesn't mean just settling for second best. It doesn't mean that. What is contentment? I'm going to give you one possibility of what may be a definition for contentment. Is that okay? Contentment may be described as not believing that your happiness can only come from the next best thing. Does that make sense? I don't know. Can I say it a little bit differently? Not thinking, I'm only going to be happy when I get X, Y, Z. I'm only going to be happy when I live. Or I'm only going to be happy when I'm going out with whoever, or I'm married to, or whoever, or I have this position or that job. That's not contentment. Contentment is not believing that your happiness comes from there. Contentment is, Lord, I'm grateful for what I have, but I thank you, Lord, for what else you've got in store. You see, contentment, if you're living a life of true abundance here, and I'm talking about the pure godly sense of prosperity, If you're living a life of prosperity down here, would you want to look forward to heaven? Imagine you had divine health all the time, supernatural provision all the time, got on with everybody all the time in all your relationships, had everything your heart desires. Would you like really long for heaven? I don't think so. I don't think so. So contentment is being grateful, but saying, Lord, I thank you for what I've got. But I thank you, Lord, for what you've got in store. The next best thing that God has in store for us, that is one of the ways of being content. Ecclesiastes 6 and verse 9. And I have a Read the Bible in a Year program where every year from January to December, I read the Bible through from cover to cover. And right now, I'm going through Prediker, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon in his wisdom. And he speaks about, you've got to read this in context. He speaks about all the wealth that he has, and he gets anything he wants and everything he wants and whoever he wants and whatever he wants, and realize it's all nothing. It's all useless. And he comes to a conclusion that all of this is useless. Useless. But you've got to read to the end of the book to understand what Solomon's conclusion is at the end of all of this. And in Prediker 6, in verse 9, he says, enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. Just dreaming about nice things is meaningless, like chasing the wind. I've also need to prepare a little, short little clip that brings across this principle so clearly. Just dreaming about nice things is meaningless, and never being at a place where you can enjoy the things that you do have. So, Renier, as you can hear this, but powerful, isn't it? So there the guy, he's in his Lamborghini Countach, and he looks up and he says, yes, I wish I had a helicopter. And the guy in the other car next to him, and so it goes on and on and on. And the oak in the wheelchair thinks, sure, they can go wherever they want. Isn't it funny that we always compare ourselves to people that have more than us instead of comparing ourselves to people that have less than us? How can we start to be grateful? One of the ways is imagine your life without the comforts that you have. Imagine your life. Imagine if you had to be pushed on a wheelchair today. Imagine if you this morning couldn't stand to brush your teeth. Imagine this morning if you woke up under a tree somewhere. Imagine if we didn't have this building to worship in. Imagine if you didn't have the person that's dearest to your heart right now. Imagine if you're sitting across the desk from a doctor that says, we don't know how long, but I guess maximum 3 months, and then you're history. One of the ways that we can start to learn to be grateful is just try and imagine your life without the comforts that you have right now. So may we never be people that compare ourselves to those that have more than us, but to those that have less than us, and be grateful. Philippians 2 and verse 14 says, do everything without complaining. Yo, ek sukkel hiermee hoor, because I can brom up there with the best of them. You know, it's amazing how God puts different people together in the body just to make the body work together. one of the things I love about the body, I love church and I love the body of Christ. I just love it. And is that God knows exactly what the body needs. And God puts people together, even in the body of Christ. They're always complaining and always complaining about things. And you think, even die persoon is niks vat nie. Actually, they play a very, very valuable role. Because if you're trying to find out how to improve something, or to try and figure out what's wrong, just get one of those complainers. They'll quickly tell you what's wrong and where you can do this and where you can do that. So there's a role even for people that complain all the time. And you as a parent that has more than one child, don't raise your hands now, but isn't it just like easier to parent and raise the child that's grateful all the time as opposed to the child that's always complaining? Oh, gee, I just got an iPhone whatever. I wish I could have an iPhone 11 instead of whatever. I don't know what number they are at now. Oh, gee, I just got this old tablet. I wish I could have. Oh, gee, I just got a 50-inch TV. I wish you could have a 65-inch drive-in screen. Is it so? Maar is ons ook nie so met God? Hey, I know none of you, you guys don't battle with that, but I sickle with it. I complain and complain and complain about stuff. But the scripture says, do everything without complaining and arguing. How many of you that are married know that that's not always possible? Do everything without arguing? Really, Lord? Seriously? I'm married. Oh, how funny is that text verse? Complaining and arguing. Hey, you know. Van julle lag, wag, jy het uitkom. There's couples that say, we never argue about anything, we never fight. Well, then one of you is unnecessary. Kom jy getroud geraak in die eerste plek, man. You always will fight. If you're growing, you're going to argue. Don't come and tell me nonsense, yummy. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Right, so what's one of the ways that we can learn to be grateful, as I said, imagine your life without the comforts. Now, one of the best ways to express our gratitude towards God is to live a life of faith. One of the best ways to show your gratitude, to be grateful to God, is to live a life of faith. How do we do that? God says it, I believe it, that settles it. Nee, die Here sê so, ja maar. Living a life of faith where we believe what God has said is one of the best ways we can show our gratitude towards God. By living a life of faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, for we live by believing and not by seeing. Some translations say the just shall live by faith. And it actually quotes this scripture. So, one of the best ways we can show our gratitude towards God is by living a life of faith. And one of the best ways we can live a life of faith is in our praises. And in our praises. Sometimes I know there's not special pastor blood flowing in my veins. If I get cut, the color of the blood that comes out is also red. Okay? So there are times when we in this church, we sing these amazing songs with Holy Spirit inspired lyrics. En dan dink ons vir onsself, as dit maar net so kan wees. Ons sing dit, maar dis dan nog nie die werklikheid in ons lewens. Is dit nie so nie? Can anybody relate to what I'm saying? Sometimes we sing songs, and I'll be the first to admit, sometimes I preach here, but I'm living here. I'm trying to get to that place where I preach, and sometimes it's like that in our songs. One of the best ways we can express our gratitude towards God is by living a life of faith. And one of the best ways we can express our faith is in our praises. It's not because of religious routine that we have praises. Because as the sound goes, so the atmosphere goes. I'll give you a practical example. Imagine you're watching a movie and the soundtrack is muted. You can't hear anything. And you see a door slowly opening. You're like, okay, what next? But imagine you see that door slowly opening and this music in the background. And suddenly it changes the whole atmosphere. Can you relate to what I'm saying? That's why there's awesome soundtracks in movies. Like, I mean, you see a guy riding a horse, and it's like, cool, he's riding a horse. Then they put it in slow motion, and it's doom, da, 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 doom, da, and then you're like, oh, so cool to ride a horse. Because of the music. As the sound goes, so the atmosphere goes. As the atmosphere goes, so the battle goes. As the battle goes, so the destiny goes. That's why we sing praises when we come in, to set the atmosphere, to let the forces of hell know it hasn't happened yet, but we're praising God because we're trusting Him that it's going to happen. Setting the atmosphere, letting the forces of darkness know that Jesus is Lord of our lives, Jesus is Lord of this place, and it might not have come to pass in my life, but I'm going to thank God and praise Him until it is a reality in my life. Can somebody give me an amen? That's why we sing these praises, to set the atmosphere and the tone for our lives. And it mustn't just happen here. It must happen at home. When you're in the shower, when you're in the kitchen, when you're in the garage, heck, when you're in the toilet, praise God. Thank God you've got toilet paper and a magazine to read. Come on. And thank God for air freshener. Hallelujah. Moving right along. So our faith can be expressed through our praises. Our praises usher in the presence of God. Our praises usher in the presence of God. Psalm 22 and verse 3, it says, "Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel." And it's so lekker to read verse 3, but you must read verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 and 2. Let's go there, guys. Can you put verse 1 and 2? Psalm 22, verse 1 and 2. What a change in the psalm. My God, why have you abandoned me? Does it sound like it's saying good? Like it's going good? My God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help? Next verse. Every day I call to you, my God, but you don't answer. Every night you hear my voice, but I find no relief. And then verse 3, yet you are holy. Yeah, the psalmist is saying, Lord, this is where I am at in my life. My prayers aren't being answered. You feel far away from me. I'm moaning and I'm groaning. Yet you are holy. You still stay God. Folks, maybe you're sitting here and you've been trusting God for a breakthrough in your life for whatever area, and you prayed and you fasted and you've quoted scripture and it still hasn't come to pass. My brother, my sister, I want to speak truth from the oven of the Holy Spirit to you this morning. God is still holy. He's still God. The fact that it hasn't been answered in your time and in your way does not change who God is. It says, you are God, you are holy, you who are enthroned in the praises of Israel. Israel's key there because it speaks about the people that are in covenant relationship with God. You see, how's your covenant with God? What is a covenant? A covenant where there's a mutual promise and agreement to accomplish something, a common goal and a common purpose in an agreement. So your agreement with God, how are you in your commitment to God? When was the last time you made a commitment to God and you said, God, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to be like this, I'm going to think like that, I'm going to act like this. How are you in terms of keeping that covenant with God this morning? You see, because God is a covenant keeper. God is a covenant keeper. And that's key there. Yet you are holy, you who are enthroned on the praises of Israel. Keeping your covenant with God. Praise Him, God. Praising God gives Him thanks for things we have may not yet received. And in closing, I'd like us to look at just a few things that we can be grateful for. And take time this morning to really be grateful for these things. Is that okay? I want to be thankful and grateful to God for my health. I'm grateful that I'm healthy. Yesterday, I had the privilege again. Some of you will think, oh, I shame, Pastor. Kan ons nie vir jou bid, dat ons jou verlos van dit. I had the privilege of riding my bicycle to a family function. 76 kilometers. It was lekker. Dis nie ver nie, moenie wou nie. It was lekker. I was praising God that I'm healthy enough. I'm alive. I can get on a bicycle and I can trap that bicycle. And a bicycle all the way from home, bicycle all the way to wherever. I'm grateful for my health. I thank you that I can still do that. I thank God that I'm not confined to a couch or a wheelchair or a whatever. I'm grateful for that. We can be grateful for our health. Can you say amen? I'm grateful for my family and friends. I love seeing my family. Some family I love seeing when they come, another family I love seeing when they go. Come on. Come on. Come on. I'm still grateful for that family. I'm grateful for the friends that I have in my life. I'm grateful for people that have my back. Not stab my back. Have my back. I'm grateful for people that make the load of ministry lighter and easier. I'm grateful for people that work with us and not against us. Hallelujah. Thank God for those people. I'm grateful for gainful employment. Come on. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for a place to worship. I thank God for this place. Is there lots of room for improvement? Yes. I'd love to have a whole long list of how things can be different over here. I'd love to have that, but I'm grateful that we have at least a place to worship. I'm grateful for grace and second chances. I'm grateful that God forgives me when I truly repent. I'm grateful that He hasn't written me off long time ago when He should have many times over. I'm grateful that He gives me chance after chance after chance. I'm grateful for that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm grateful for grace and second chances. I'm grateful that we have the Word of God so freely available. Bible programs where you can compare translations next to each other side by side. Can have it on our phones, on our computers, wherever. You can have it on in MP3, MP4 format where it plays into your ears when you're writing. I'm grateful that the Word of God is so freely available to us, where people in other countries have to memorize pages of the Bible and share those pages with each other because they get locked up and killed for being in possession of a Bible because it's illegal. Imagine that. Imagine that. I'm grateful that I have the Bible. I don't know what I'd do if I couldn't read the Bible. I don't know what I'd do. I'd just go off my rocker, I promise you. I'm grateful that we have opportunities to fellowship. I'm grateful that we have opportunity to fellowship, care group meetings, social meetings. We have an opportunity after church, and I'll soon make that announcement. After church, there's a challenge going through the world called the Jerusalem Dance or Jerusalem Challenge. To be honest with you, I'm not sure what it's about, but those that are going to be dancing will be able to tell you. So after the service, let's get together and let's support them. Is that okay? Let's cheer them on. Let's cheer them on. And then afterwards, we're going to go through to Henley on Clip and have something to eat at a place called Taste Buds. Or It's About Time. I'm grateful for the opportunity to do that. I'm grateful that I can see people shuffle and jive and do their thing. And grateful that I can go with people and feed my pie hole. I'm grateful for opportunities like that. I'm grateful for opportunities to serve and make positive contributions in our community. And the list can go on and on and on. So, as I close, I ask you this morning, what are you grateful for? What are you grateful for? I'm grateful that over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ decided to give up His life and die on a cross so that we can be here today. I'm grateful that today I have a living relationship with the real God through Jesus Christ. And if you're watching online and you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, Mozzie, I don't have that privilege. I want to give you an opportunity to do so this morning. If you have a relationship with Jesus, that's great. Pray with us as we pray for those that don't. What does it take to have a relationship with Jesus? Simply acknowledging that you're a sinner. simply acknowledging that you need God's grace and forgiveness in your life. Acknowledging that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that He died and rose again from the grave to give you a life of eternity with God. And I'd like to give you that opportunity. I'm grateful to be able to give you that opportunity to pray with me this morning. And if you've prayed this prayer before, that's great. Just pray with us again this morning as you pray quietly to ourselves in our hearts. But especially for you, my brother, my sister, dear friend, if you're watching and you don't have a relationship with Jesus and you don't even know what that's like, it's one simple prayer away. And I'm going to lead you in that prayer this morning. If you want to pray with me, please, you're more than welcome to. If you say, Father God, I come before you this morning in the name of Jesus and I acknowledge that I am a sinner. And I acknowledge that I've done wrong, Lord God, and harmed you and others. And I know that I need grace and forgiveness. And I know I don't deserve it, Lord. But you died for me anyway, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I believe in my heart and therefore I say with my mouth that you are God's Son. I believe that you died, that you were crucified, that you were dead, buried, rose again from the grave, and that your blood was shed to cleanse me and wash me of all my sins. And I ask you now, Lord, to forgive me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for loving me. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my life and be Lord of my life. And from today, Lord, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would help me, that you would guide me, and that you would lead me to live for you, Jesus, all the days of my life, one day and one decision at a time. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friend, if you've prayed that prayer in all sincerity in the bottom of your heart, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit would have made your spirit born again. My encouragement is if you do not have a church, slot into a church to make your spiritual home and tell somebody about this commitment that you've made. Just tell somebody, I made Jesus Lord of my life today and I'm going to start living my life for Jesus the rest of my days. And if this is your spiritual home and you've done that for the first time, please come and speak to us. We'd love to pray with you and help you understand what it is, this decision that you've made this morning. So just to recap, living a life of gratefulness, being grateful. One of the ways we can do that is to live a life of faith, expresses our gratitude towards God. One of the ways we can express our faith is to praise God. So we're going to do that this morning. We're going to close off by being thankful to God, by singing a song of praise to God. Is that okay? Right, so would you stand with us a minute, the deep end to come up one more time and lead us in a time of worship, and we're going to give God thanks.